direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And today, this really is part two of our discussion with Pastor Mark Stromberg, the pastor of the Belgrade, Montana United Reformed Church, one of our sister churches. We are thankful that Mark is here with us again to describe for us his transition from Pentecostalism into a Reformed church. And Mark, last week you began by telling us a little bit about your history in the Assemblies of God churches as a minister in those churches. Can you begin today by again summarizing for us? We left off last time with this discussion on faith. Would you describe faith and summarize that from a Pentecostal perspective? Give us again, we'll start there today.
Yes, Chris, I think that's helpful. Faith in a Pentecost, from a Pentecostal perspective, then this Pentecostals initially would argue with this statement, but really it's a man-centered view of faith, because faith is reduced to a human decision, and then faith also is based upon this subjective experience. You know, I know Billy Graham is not a Pentecostal, but he used to be famous for saying, when he would preach on John 3, that you take the first step and then God will meet you. And that's consistent. You know, Pentecostals would have the same idea as many broad evangelicals, that faith in that sense is reduced to this decision that man makes. Man, his mind at some point is enlightened. He has a presence of understanding where he says, yes, I need to do this. And by power of persuasion, human persuasion, he makes the right decision. And then also in that context, there's the experiential element. The man, an individual must have this experience in the faith, kind of like Paul on the Damascus Road, where they expect to be knocked off the horse and see the light. And when you compound this with the idea that if faith is a decision, and you belong to the Lord on the basis of your decision, that also implies that you can reject the Lord and that your salvation is something that can be lost. If it's based upon you choosing God, you can reject God equally. And that was certainly true of my experience being raised in a Pentecostal church, which led to a lot of spiritual struggles. Would you like me to follow up on that, Chris?
Well, I think, you're raising a crucial point that I have often raised, Mark, on Abounding Grace Radio. My listeners will understand that. And, this is not just peculiar to Pentecostalism. This is peculiar to, I would argue, kind of an American version of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And, where basically people are manipulated into the kingdom with a whole host of things you have today. Martin Lloyd-Jones, even in his day in the UK, labeled this as emotional rape with regard to how music was being used to manipulate people's emotions into a moment's emotional decision that really was not grounded in the truth, but was grounded in the experience that one was having, at the moment, and how the pastor was manipulating the situation. This is not peculiar to anyone, but Pentecostalism had its kind of own brand on that, right?
That's true, and I think what happened was Pentecostalism was on the cutting edge, and to a great extent, the rest of the evangelical community was influenced by that. I would even say the modern-day worship movement can be traced back to Pentecostalism. And what happened was the Assemblies of God, found itself on the front page of Time magazine as the fastest-growing church in America after it was about 60 years old. And at that point, it was the second-largest denomination in America behind the Southern Baptists. And here it had only been around, less than 70 years. So there was all of a sudden, by evangelical communities, had interest in the success. And, I remember as a Assembly of God minister sitting down with other ministers and planning a worship service, and there was no doubt that you would start with a certain type of song to kind of bring people in. and you would pick the music based upon the effect, emotional effect of the music on people, because you wanted to move them to a certain point. And the whole service was structured around producing an emotional, subjective experience, really independent of engaging their mind rigorously with the Word of God and using the Word, and then allowing whatever experience participates out of that understanding. But it really was like an emotional rape. I think Lloyd Jones is correct in describing it that way. And I found that to be repulsive, even while I was in the midst of it. And I would do my own informal survey on a Sunday morning. People be leaving the service. I'd ask them, "What's your evaluation of this morning's worship?" And you gauged upon the music and how hot the worship team was. You know, they would say, "Well, the Spirit was moving." I'd say, "Well, how do you know the Spirit was moving?" "Well, you could feel it with the music." So if they were moved through music, drama, whatever it might be, persuasive speaking, then the Spirit was moving. So there was definitely the manipulation of people on an emotional level.
And the consequences of that, then, when we talk about consequences, when you're on a roller coaster like that, Mark, and you're up and down like that, it's almost like drug use. You know, the next time you got to get higher, you know, because you're addicted to this. The problem is, what becomes of salvation? Do they have a robust doctrine of assurance?
No,
or perseverance better?
Yeah, that's such a personal matter for me because I struggled with that intimately as a young man. I said the sinner's prayer probably at least 100 times. I walked the aisle well over 100 times. And what happens with many in this model is they have the experience on a Sunday, they're high as can be, but by the time Tuesday, Wednesday comes along, they're struggling with sin, life is difficult. And they get discouraged, and at a certain point, they begin to question, am I really a believer? Why can't I maintain this emotional experience? It got so bad in my own life. I remember going to camp meetings during the summer, and it got to the point that I didn't want to go to camp meetings anymore because I knew if I went there that I would have this emotional experience, and I would make all these commitments to the Lord, and then I would go back to school. And at some point, I would stumble, I would sin, and I would feel like a complete failure. And if you were going to fail, why even try? Why even go through this shenanigans? So just don't even go there and make the commitment.
Oh, man, Mark, this is really helpful. I mean, you know, everyone struggles with that, but I can only imagine. I appreciate your honesty here of having that kind of explaining that kind of roller coaster experience, because my guess is many of the listeners right now are feeling exactly what you're saying, you know, and this is very important to understand what causes this in this kind of roller coaster setting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's the reason you have such a lower roller coaster is because you have the whole paradigm for religion is skewed. Everything's upside down. It's man-centered. You know, when you have a man-centered view of faith and it's based upon your decision, it's based upon the subjective experience, nothing's objective. And there's nothing to ground you. So when I was confronted with a true biblical understanding of faith, a confessional view of faith, I mean, it was like cold water to one who was dying of thirst in the wilderness.
Explain that. This is really crucial because now we're transitioning a bit from this, what he just described, to what Mark is now as a minister in a Reformed church preaching the gospel. He talks about a confessional view of faith. You realize all of a sudden there's a history you never understood before, right?
Oh, absolutely. What I was looking for my whole life, I didn't know where to find it. I found it in the Reformed faith. You know, it answered the questions I had. It didn't avoid parts of the Bible and pretend like we believe all the Scripture, but we wink when we read these Scriptures. You know, it was intellectually rigorous. It was historical. It was satisfying, and I found that, you know, faith was a gift. And you didn't even possess this faith until God had birthed it in you and conferred it upon you through the working of the Holy Spirit, actually after you were born again. And the idea that a man, you know, when you read Romans chapter 3, where Paul is quoting from Psalm 53, and he says that no man seeks God, and he's speaking to an audience that includes zealous Jews. No man seeks God. I realized that, well, if no man seeks God, how on earth am I supposed to make the decision? I'm dead in sin. I'm helpless.
An inconsistency in practice and what's being communicated from what the scriptures actually teach.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then when I was confronted with the fact that, you know, through the preaching of the gospel, salvation is a miracle. And that God, literally, I was being born from above. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to spirit, as Jesus says in John chapter 3. And that this is a miracle, as the gospel is preached to all men. The Holy Spirit takes that call. He makes it effectual to the elect at a specific point in time. And that man is united with Christ. He becomes a new creation. He's washed in Christ. He's crucified with Christ. And then he's resurrected spiritually in Christ. And the very first evidence of that is he finds himself believing. His affections are changed. His will is bent. His mind is completely renewed. He receives the mind of Christ. And the very image of God, which was tarnished and corrupted and perverted in the fall, is being restored now in this new birth. This was rich and robust. And by the time you say, by the time you exercise your faith and you say, I believe, you possess something that God has already given to you. You're exercising something that God has already conferred upon
you. Now, I just want to add to this. You know, you see, dear listener, you can be reformed and have a rigorous understanding of the doctrines of the Christian faith and still preach in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and you don't have to be Pentecostal to do it. Anyways, so, okay, faith. You know, we only have a few minutes here left, Mark. Would you just explain then how a confessionally reformed person understands then the doctrine of justifying saving faith?
Yes, saving faith has as its object Christ and Christ alone. Saving faith understands it has three elements, basically. The object is always Christ. The elements are knowledge, mental assent, and trust. The knowledge includes a knowledge of your sin and your misery, but a knowledge of the person of Christ and what he has done in your behalf. And then you must intellectually understand this, but believe it. But it's not enough to mentally ascend to it. Christ must be the object of your trust. You must rest in Christ, cling to Christ. And as you rest in Christ, really, Calvin said it best when he said the essence of faith is assurance then. And when God produces this kind of faith within you, it's a faith that perseveres. It's a lasting faith. It's a sustaining faith. It's a conquering faith.
That is a wonderful place to close. Mark, we're thankful that you were with us today. And if you want to know more, understand more about why we are reformed, what that means, look, we do invite you to call us, pursue us. We have literature for you that can help you on that journey. Yes, it's a journey. There's a lot to read. There's a lot to take in. There's a lot to learn, right, Mark?
Yes, there is.
A lot to learn.
The Bible's a big book.
That's right. And you've got to learn its language. So thanks for tuning in today. We'll come back next week, have Mark again on the program, and take up where we left off. Thanks for tuning in. Visit us and join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.